Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio for this July the 3rd. Thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Walker Wildman with me. Ed Vitagliano is not here this week. He's taking the week off, and so Walker and I are doing the program along with Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Steve Jordahl from the American Family Radio News team. Walker, we want to let folks know how they can keep up with this show on the internet.
Yeah, we're very diverse when it comes to ways to keep up with the show.
Mm-hmm.
First off, you can visit our Facebook page, Today's Issues on Facebook, and I post all the news articles there, so you can click on those and read more into them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we're live streaming on Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. And then, of course, you can always download the American Family Radio app on your phone or your mm-hmm. tablet device. And a lot of folks listen each day on the app. So you could do that by just typing in AFR on the App Store.
Also, Dr. Ray Pritchard is co-hosting with us today, as he does most Tuesdays and Thursdays. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. And you got a big 4th of July celebration planned?
Oh, yeah. We're having a little boy's paradise up here in Kansas City, because one of my grandsons flew back from Oregon with me, and Marlene is up in Montana, so it's me and Eli and his cousin Knox, and, you know, we're just, if you want ice cream for breakfast, you can have it, you know? I mean, it's a boy's paradise for about 4 days, so
okay.
we're just having a blast.
What do they call you?
Well, one of them calls me G-Pa, and the other calls me Grandpa, but I answer to whichever.
Okay.
What time should we be there?
Come on over, man. Listen, it's party time, 24 hours
there
a day.
I like that. That'd be a good name of a country song, Ice Cream for Breakfast, right there. But anyway, well, good. Glad you're having a good time there with your grandsons and looking forward to 4th of July celebration tomorrow. By the way, David Barton from Wall Builders will be with us at the bottom of the hour. Couldn't think of anybody better to have on as we talk about Independence Day, the 4th of July, those who signed the Declaration of Independence and gave us the birth of our country. We're going to talk about that with David Barton, a historian on American history, coming up at the bottom of the hour. All right, Steve, good morning to you, sir.
And good morning to you, and good morning, Ray, in Kansas City.
Good morning, Steve.
As you guys have been noting for the last couple of days, we have a Supreme Court opening after the retirement of Anthony Kennedy. And yesterday, President Trump interviewed four. The White House refused to name the four, but sleuthing by various news outlets have come up with four names that the president interviewed yesterday, and more are promised for today. But yesterday, he interviewed Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, Raymond Catledge, and Amoltha Parr. Those four judges.
And he interviewed those. President Trump interviewed those personally yesterday.
He did, about 45 minutes each. Again, the White House isn't confirming what happened, but according to reports, they talked about judicial philosophy. He did not ask them what their stand is on Roe versus Wade or any other
particular case
or issue. That's
probably smart.
Yeah.
That way he can say, I didn't ask him. And you really, Walker, you're not supposed to ask, according to, I think, Abraham Hamilton III, you're not supposed to ask him about specific.
Yeah, I believe there are judicial ethic rules in place that you can be asked, a nominee or a judge can be asked, but they won't likely answer. They're not supposed to weigh in and preemptively basically decide on cases that haven't even come before them yet.
Right, and, and guarantee those senators who are interviewing them how they're going to rule on a particular individual case.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's wise, because you don't know what case is going to come before you next year, and then what all the ins and outs are when it comes to the legal jargon. So that's a pretty standard And like you said, President Trump doesn't need to ask these candidates where they'll
vote.
He
knows their background.
You look at their judicial voting record on constitutional issues, you can know how someone's going to vote.
I tell you what we've already done, though, here at American Family Association. We already picked who we want.
That's right.
We would like to see, Judge Barrett chosen by the president. Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Her name is Amy, C-O-N-E-Y is her middle name. A middle name or maiden name. And Barrett is her last name. She is one of those four that Steve mentioned who are being considered by the president for a Supreme Court post to replace Anthony Kennedy. Now, Ray, she is first of all, Steve, do you know what age she is?
She's 47.
She's 47.
47, I think, yes, in her 40s.
The president the other day said he wanted, Ray, somebody to serve on the Supreme Court for the next 40 to 45 years. Did you hear him say that?
I did. And, you know, all these of the four or five top, there are what, maybe a couple in their 40s and two in their 50s. So you're going to get on the short end 25 years, maybe 30 right. years on the short end. You might get 40. She's an ideal choice. She's conservative. She's a Catholic. Right. She taught at Notre Dame.
46, I'm sorry.
And what, got seven kids?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It would be worth it just to see the liberal heads explode.
In fact, Ray, they started exploding back when recently when she was nominated to the Seventh Circuit. Do you remember this was the interaction that she had with Senator Dianne Feinstein during that confirmation?
When you read your speeches, the conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you. And that's of concern when you come to big issues that large numbers of people have fought for years in this country.
The dogma, what did she say?
Lives loudly within you.
Yeah.
That was Dianne Feinstein, the liberal senator from California, speaking to Judge Barrett, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, upon her confirmation hearing. And she was confirmed.
She was
confirmed.
And
she sits on the Seventh Circuit.
She does.
So she was confirmed, despite the fact that Dianne Feinstein was going after her about her Catholic / Christian belief system that she espouses, does Judge Barrett. And that's one of the reasons we're in favor of her. We're in favor of her. Let me tell you, folks, if you want to sign the petition in support of Judge Barrett, the White House is aware of this because we've sent a letter to our friends at the Trump White House. Not President Trump doesn't. Don't talk to him personally. But we know people who meet with him. Mm-hmm. And so our voice is heard. Doesn't always mean that we're, you know, he's going to do what we recommend or that other conservative groups recommend or advise. But at least we're being heard. And hopefully that President Trump will pick Amy Coney Barrett. But if folks want to sign our petition, which over 20,000 people have already signed in support of Judge Barrett, we just think she's five stars.
Yeah.
She's stellar. You don't have to question or worry about where she stands on the Constitution. President Trump may not select her. He may select somebody else, and they may be fine as well. But they may be a four star. We want a five star. Why go for a four star if you can have a five star, is our view. Go ahead, Walker. How can folks sign our petition?
Yeah, you can visit our website, afa.net. So if you visit our homepage, afa.net, just right there in the front center of the webpage, you'll see a petition that says, urge President Trump to nominate Judge Barrett for the Supreme Court, and there you can click and sign. Also, you can share it on social media with all of your friends.
Go where now to find this petition?
afa.net.
afa.net. Ray, what do you think about all this?
Agree 100%.
Yeah.
You know, when Dianne Feinstein said, the dogma lives loudly within you. What she's really, she meant it as an insult.
Yes.
What she meant is that Amy Barrett is a Catholic
yes.
who actually believes what Catholics have always said they believed. And Feinstein's a Catholic herself, right? I mean,
yes.
So
in name,
does the dogma live anywhere inside of her? You know, the Catholic
Feinstein
belief.
Is a Catholic.
Yeah, she claims to be.
It's a Jewish name, though, right? Stein.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, Ray.
Well, I'm just saying that what she meant as an insult in this case.
Right.
Is actually a tremendous a compliment. You actually believe what you're supposed to believe as a Catholic. From our point of view, and we're Protestants, right?
Right.
We appreciate the fact, especially on the pro-life issue, here's a woman, a great, terrific background. Nobody could question her credentials. She actually believes in the Constitution, in the original intent of the Constitution, and she's a practicing Catholic.
Yeah.
Great choice. Five-star, Tim. Five-star.
Yeah, five-star. So we'll see what happens there, but she would definitely fit the age group that President Trump's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker. Steve and Ray, what's next, Ray? I mean, Steve?
Well, we can go with Ray. What do you want
to
talk
Stevie
about,
Ray?
Steve, you pick it and we'll go.
All right. There's an ongoing battle in the Senate over, and the House, I should say, over both of those bodies. Over the, how did the Trump investigation start? And Devin Nunes and Adam Schiff, Devin Nunes, the Republican head of the House Judiciary Committee, and Adam Schiff, the Democrat ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee, are kind of going at it hammer and tong. Let me just play you a little bit of what Adam Schiff said, and then this is Devin Nunes' reply as well.
You know, the four horsemen of this apocalypse have been Devin Nunes and Trey Gowdy, Mark Meadows, and Jim Jordan. They have been leading the charge basically to require the Justice Department to give them materials that can be leaked or fed or misrepresented, like the infamous Nunes memorandum, in the service of the president. And in the meantime, they do enormous damage to these institutions. Ultimately, they'll be held accountable.
Yeah, we're not going to be threatened by the Democrats. I mean, look, they're the ones that have all this blood on their hands. They're the ones who have completely destroyed the FBI and DOJ. How did they do that? They did that by digging up dirt. The Clinton campaign dug up dirt, put it into a dossier, fed it into the FBI, and the FBI used our counterintelligence capabilities against a political campaign.
So that was the first voice you heard was Adam Schiff, the Democrat, and the second voice was Devin Nunes. Mr. Nunes has asked for testimony from 17 current and former Department of Justice and FBI officials to come in and settle. How is it that the Steele dossier got from some opposition research by the Democrats into the Justice Department and weaponized? And was the Trump campaign under surveillance because of that?
Yeah.
I know you talk about this a lot on your show,
yeah,
Walker.
Well, this Adam Schiff, the Democrats are trying to act as if the Republicans are on this unnecessary witch hunt to smear the Department of Justice and the FBI because we don't like the Russia investigation. But really, the Republicans are just seeking information, and what's happening is that information does not look good for the FBI and the DOJ, so thus the Democrats are upset about it because this was the DOJ under President Obama. So the Republicans are just seeking information, which is their job, oversight over different departments under the president. And what the information they're receiving is not looking good, and they've only received half of it.
Right. So documents and now people coming in front of this committee to explain what happened. And of course, now if they find that this whole Trump investigation is a witch hunt, Walker, I got to think, Ray, that the Democrats are probably too far into this to back out and say, oh, we're sorry, we made a mistake.
Oh, they bet the farm on this, Steve. They can't back out now. They've got to try to come up with something, even though isn't it correct to say at this point there is simply no evidence of collusion? I mean, I don't know how many times we've repeated it, but isn't that still true? There is no evidence of collusion.
None that has been made public anyway, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, and this is a Washington that leaks like a sieve. You would have thought that now something would have leaked out if they had anything, and Nothing.
Well, isn't this, Walker, a showdown between the Justice Department and the Congress?
Yeah, this is very bizarre because
who wins?
You often see showdowns between opposing. So let's say you have a Democratic president and you have a Republican Congress. Well, the Democratic DOJ is kind of stonewalling Republican Congress. You might see that, but in this case, we have President Trump's Department of Justice stonewalling Congress. I think at the end of the day, Congress has to win as long as they have President Trump in the White House. But
wait a minute. And that sounded wrong. You're right, but it sounded wrong. President Trump he's on the side of Devin Nunes in Congress against his own Justice Department.
That's correct.
So Trump's on Trump's side or against Trump?
President Trump, if you ask him, he's on the side of Devin Nunes and House Republicans who are seeking oversight and documents on this Russia investigation.
Okay.
But he is also over the folks who are stonewalling Congress. So it's a very bizarre situation here.
Why didn't he fire them?
Well, you can, but I'm sure you have to weigh the political
At least
outrage.
He could order them to produce the documents.
Yeah.
Could he force them to do it?
He can. Oh, yeah, he can, and he can fire people. But here's the thing. They've put the Democrats and the left have put him in this odd position of if he intervenes, justified or not, he's intervening into an investigation, whether it be a legit investigation or not, into his own campaign. And so
he's covering up.
It's better if
that's what they're going to
say. Other folks like Jeff Sessions and folks who are viewed as like apolitical will step in and get this thing
under control.
But
Jeff Sessions recused himself, which is the problem.
Right.
That President Trump has.
Yeah. So essentially, what I think President Trump has done, and I think he's right, is he's allowing Congress to get this thing figured out, and he's kind of staying.
Yeah, but
out
when
of
I'm what I'm talking about the showdown is. Are they subpoena? Are they, in other words, what I understand going on here is the Devin Nunes and the Congress, who has oversight over the Department of Justice and the FBI, is saying to them, you need to provide us with documents that we've requested because of our constitutional duty to oversee the workings of government.
Right.
Especially government like the Justice Department, the FBI, who have enormous power to imprison people. Well, they can't convict, but they can harass you, or they can send you to jail, investigate you, whatever. And the Department of Justice / the FBI is saying, we're not sending anything else over. You got everything you need. So,
well, where is Jeff Sessions in all this? I mean, he's the attorney general, right?
Yeah, he is. And I would argue, and others would argue, that he can intervene here, not intervene in the Russia probe, which he's recused himself from. He can intervene in the general workings of the Department of Justice, meaning document release. No matter what the documents have to do with Russia, any other investigation, the hit people below Jeff Sessions should release the documents. But it's becoming very frustrated. The House Republicans last week passed a resolution in the House which condemned Rosenstein and all the other folks who are stonewalling and gave them a July 6th deadline to release the documents.
Is that Friday?
That's Friday.
Or what? Or else what?
Our subpoenas.
Subpoenas?
Subpoenas.
Wow.
Subpoenas. So if you ignore a subpoena, don't you go to jail?
Yeah, I'm not sure how it works with Congress. I know if you ignore a subpoena from a court, you will go to jail.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. That's what I mean. We've come to a standoff here. I mean, somebody's going to have to win and lose.
Right. Just like Eric Holder ignored subpoenas from a Republican Congress, if Rosenstein ignores the subpoenas, he will be held in contempt of Congress.
When you're held in contempt, then
which is very bad.
That's a violation of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
Well, we continue to have members of the administration being confronted in public by the resistance or people like Maxine Waters have called for this confronting. Don't let them eat in peace. Well, last night it was Secretary Pruitt the EPA administrator, Scott Pruitt, and he was out having dinner with somebody, and this woman...
In Washington.
This woman who was holding her one-year-old or her little child came up and confronted him. This is what it sounded like. You listen closely because there's a lot of ambient noise. It's not really easy to hear, but listen to what that confrontation sounded like.
I just wanted to urge you to resign because of what you're doing to the environment in our country. This is my son. He loves animals. He loves clean air. He loves clean water. Meanwhile, you're slashing strong emission standards for cars and trucks for the benefits of big corporations. We deserve to have somebody at the EPA who actually does protect our environment, somebody who believes in climate change and takes it seriously for the benefit of all of us, including our children. So I would urge you to resign before your scandals push you out.
So I know it's hard to hear, but what she said was she walked up and said, I want to urge you to resign because we want somebody in your position that doesn't. And then she listed several accusations. Yep. And then
she introduced him to her one-year-old, who's for clean water and clean air.
Because there are some toddlers who not are aren't.
Right, you can't. The toddler population split on that. So she wanted him to know that her toddler was pro clean air, clean water.
Right,
Ray.
And he didn't answer her back. Right. Yeah. I mean, he didn't get in didn't any kind
no,
of.
To my
you
knowledge,
know what? I don't care. Well, first of all, let me just say to her credit. She didn't yell at the man or shout at him or throw things at him. So she was civil. I'll give her that. But I will say this. Personally, when people are out having dinner, that's their own personal time. Don't go up to their table and interrupt their and give them 3 or 4 minutes of your personal political opinions. I would say this if it were the other way around. If President Obama was out having dinner or Dianne Feinstein or whoever, I wouldn't go up and just start interrupting there. I just think that's rude, and I think that's leads to many other problems. And you know, there's a time and place for, for a protest, if you will. But people having dinner with their wives or their husbands or their family is not the place to do that. Go ahead.
You wouldn't be able to get close to President Obama, but it does bring up the question. Ray, how is it that people can get up this close and personal with members of the administration? These are people in the line of succession for the presidency of the United States. Every cabinet member is. And so you got to worry that someday some crazy is going to do this and pull a gun.
Well, they already have. Steve Scalise almost died. Did a lot of other Republican congressmen.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Right. But basically, you're going to... Right, you're going to have somebody come up and take a bowl of hot soup, right?
Yeah.
And pour it over somebody's head.
Yeah.
And then something, then who knows what's going to happen after that.
Yeah.
So this was, it's really beyond the pale that she did it. It's extremely dangerous, the door that it opens.
Well, Maxine Waters, the congresswoman from California, is advocating that Trump administration officials be confronted physically. Mm-hmm. Whether you have to go to their homes, and something bad is going to happen because as a result of this. I just think, I don't care who you are, and you're a public servant, whether you're Democrat or Republican, you deserve to have to be able to eat dinner or to go to your kid's soccer game or go out to your car from your house and get your newspaper without being harassed by these people.
Right.
Have some respect, have some manners. We'll be back in a minute. David Barton will be with us momentarily. We're going to talk about Independence Day and reflect some on our history. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR.
Happy birthday to the USA! Today's Issues team members will be home celebrating Independence Day with friends and family, and we hope you do the same. Remember God's amazing grace, mercy, and blessings which have made our nation the greatest in history. Tune in for a best-of edition of Learning University, followed by a Ray Pritchard 4th of July special, My Prayer for America. Have a safe and happy 4th, and don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
One of my favorite things to do in Israel is take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Hello everyone, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be taking our annual tour of Israel in March of 2019, but it's time to sign up. We have a lot of folks sign up early, and last year, in fact, we filled up several months in advance. So for all the information on this trip to Israel, a bucket list trip for most people, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure, call us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your phone number. We'll be flying direct from the States to Tel Aviv and then begin our tour in Jerusalem of Israel. We hope you can join us in 2019.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. The folks who run Summers Abbey Flooring Center in Port Neches, Texas, are a patriotic bunch. Every year about this time, they give away American flags. They also line the roadway in front of their store with the red, white, and blue. You can see pictures at toddstearns.com. But the other day, somebody complained about those flags, and it wasn't too long after that the Texas Department of Transportation paid a visit, told the staff the flags had to come down. Seems Old Glory was posted on the state right-of-way, which is against the rules. A lot of the locals are pretty fired up over the directive, but the rules are the rules. So the flooring company took down the Star Spangled Banners. They still plan on handing out free flags so long as supplies last, and they promise not to let one person's unpatriotic complaint stop them from painting Southeast Texas in the red, white, and blue. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, with Walker, Steve, and Ray. Hey, Ray, real quickly, before we get to David Barton, our next guest, I was talking about, and you mentioned that if this public confrontation, public confronting of people who work in the Trump administration, that's gonna end bad if it continues, won't it?
You're going to see, somebody's going to get hurt, Tim, and maybe it's going to be one of the, you know, the officials of the administration, but nothing good can happen when you go up and accost a public official in a restaurant or at a ceremony or when they're going out to pick up their paper, right? Nothing good can happen. Something bad's going to happen. Yeah. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Yeah, and also Tucker Carlson was interviewing somebody from the left on this the other day, and they were saying, oh, this is free speech. They have a right to confront these people. They're doing terrible things, and they need to be challenged publicly. And Tucker Carlson asked the fella, he said, listen, draw the line for me then. The soccer field with their grandchildren, where you want to confront them? What about at church? After church, they're coming out of church. What about,
did they draw the line?
They're at the mall. You know, and they're shopping.
Right.
And you're going to go up and shout them down
in
public? No, the guy really didn't have a good answer to Tucker Carlson on that. You know, as I said earlier, I just disagree with trying to confront a public official on his private time or her private time in a restaurant or at a soccer field or at their church or, as Ray said, coming out of their house to pick up their newspaper or get their mail, I just have a real problem with that. There's time and place for, you know, disagreement, expressing yourself, maybe going to, now I wouldn't have a problem with out in front of their, you know, their office, either in Washington or back home. That's perfectly appropriate. Things of that nature, but not when they're having dinner with their wife. All right. You're listening to, or their husband in the case of, Homeland Security.
Yeah.
Okay, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on AFR. David Barton of Wall Builders is on with us now. David's has a program here on AFR called Wall Builders Live, and David's been a longtime friend of our ministry. David, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Doing well, David. Appreciate you being on with us, brother. Hey, tell our listeners about this summer camp that you guys, Wall Builders, are sponsoring, and who's eligible, and how they can find out more information about it.
What we do in the summer is, for a two-week period of time, we take young people from 18 through 25, going into college, in college, or in master's, doctor kind of programs, law school, and we really help them get a strong worldview. We know what's being taught at colleges. We know what they will face. We know where they'll get hit. And in that 2 weeks, we equip them. Really, the whole thing for us is truth. What is truth? It can be known. And once you know it, what is it? How do you identify it, and how do you defend it? And so, since so much of what is not true is around speculation today, because we own so many tens of thousands of original artifacts and documents, we let those kids actually hold those things. So as we talk about what they're going to hear about Black history, or what they're going to hear about religion, or what they're going to hear about morality, et cetera, we let them actually hold the things that usually are at the center of that debate. And so when their professor pops off and says something, whatever it may be, they say, no, I actually held that. I know that what you're saying is not right. And so we train kids on how to ask a series of questions to their professors. And, Tim, literally, we have seen in the last 2 years particularly, as we've really gone aggressive on this, we've seen kids completely convert their professors, change their professor just by asking them questions. It's not confrontational. It is not rude. We don't do what the other side is doing to Trump officials right now. We just simply ask questions, and it boxes those professors into a way of thinking that they've not considered. And we literally have seen professors completely change as a result. So it's really fun stuff, and it's really good for the kids. They keep their faith. They keep their conservative values. They're able to defend those values, and it helps the nation.
All right, who's eligible, and how to find out more information?
Wallbuilders.com, leadership training. So wallbuilders.com/LTP, and eligible 18 through 25. Those that are going into college, in college, or in some type of postgraduate studies in college. Those are the ones we take.
When is it?
The last session is coming up in about a week and a half. So we've gone through most of the sessions this summer. We have one more left.
Okay.
And I think it starts next Monday.
Okay. Hey, Steve, set this up for David.
Steve Jordahl here. We're seeing an incredibly polarized nation right now, with an awful lot of anger going around. Campus reform was in New York City, talking to NYU students. They asked students to respond to the question of whether or not they're proud of America. And I wanted to play a representative sample of what we heard. This is cut four, Adam.
Do you consider yourself today proud to be an American?
Oh boy, that's a tough question.
No.
No, not in the America we have right now.
Yeah.
No, I'm not proud. No.
Are you proud to be an American?
Definitely not.
No, I'm not proud of America. I'm not proud of what we've done.
Would you consider yourself proud to be an American?
I'm going to go with no, especially like recently.
I think we need to stop thinking that we're the best nation on earth, because that's just egotistical and it's not accurate.
There's a plethora of things that are going wrong.
Orphan border issues.
Today, would you consider yourself proud to be an American?
Yeah, I would consider myself proud to be an American.
Right now, are you proud to be an American?
Yeah, definitely.
yeah, I always have been.
I mean, I have the freedoms and possibilities to do, you know, basically whatever I want. I think it's a really great country.
So the USA Today Ipsos did a poll that found that among Republicans, 90% of Republicans are proud to be American. 71% of Democrats, I'm sorry, 61% of Democrats right now are proud to be American. What do we have to be proud about right now?
There's a lot to be proud about. And by the way, I would point out that in the clip that I just heard, I would say that most of those kids or most of those voices were college kids.
They were all college kids, yeah.
That's exactly what we're facing right now, and that's what kids face when they leave for college. And I was listening to those clips and thinking, man, the leadership training kids we've got, within five questions, could have all of those kids going in a different direction because it's stuff they've never heard. The professor's not giving them the other side. What do we want to be proud about? Let's take the fact that the average length of a governing document in the history of the world, average length of the Constitution, thereabouts, is 17 years. Hey, tomorrow we have 242 years under the same piece of paper. I'm kind of proud that we don't have a revolution every 17 years or so like the rest of the world. How about the fact that our 4% of the world's population every year produces more inventions, more creativity, more medical cures, more discoveries than the other 96% of the world? 4% of the world's population, we should produce 4% of the world's whatever. Nope. Every year, our 4% outproduces the 96%. I could go through economics as well. So, you know, the girl who said, well, we don't have anything to be proud of, that it's a myth that America's a great nation. Now, let me just keep going through statistics, and that's literally what those kids have never heard. They've heard what their professors have told them, and they've never heard anything good about America. The other thing I would throw out is it's now infiltrated down into high school. If you've seen the AP history standards that came out in 2014 and then again in 2015, we do not teach kids in World War II about Hitler, about Nazis, about the Holocaust. But we do teach them that we dropped an atomic bomb on Japan, raising questions about America's values. So you will see that it's unbelievable. The entire standard for World War II is one page, and you will read that page and say America is definitely the bad guy in World War II. And that's what we're doing now, even in high school, not just college, but we've dropped it down in high school.
Right, go ahead.
David, here we are. David, here we are just the day before the 4th of July, and the people on the left want to talk about America's founders as being deist or non-Christians or even atheist. What's the truth, for instance, about the religious background of the men who signed the Declaration of Independence?
Well, number one, there is not a single atheist among the founding fathers. Thomas Paine is the least religious founding father, and we have a six-page letter from him where he's talking to Sam Adams because Sam Adams is mad at him for having written The Age of Reason. And Thomas Paine says, I am not an atheist. That's what I'm doing in France. They're going headlong into atheism. I'm trying to stop France from becoming atheist. So there is not a single founding father that is an atheist. There's a couple that call themselves deists, but a deist back then is what we would call a theist today. Perhaps an Orthodox Jew would be a better way of saying it. Because a deist, by their definition, is someone who questions the divinity of Jesus Christ. Doesn't question the scripture, doesn't question God, doesn't question the Bible, doesn't question religion. Just not sure that Jesus is divine. That's a deist. That is not a deist today, but that was back then. You have, of the 56 signers of the Declaration, 29 of them graduated from schools that we call seminaries or Bible schools today. You have a number of them who were active ministers as well, a number of them engaged in starting Bible societies, Sunday school movements. So the faith side of the founders is very strong. And the other thing kids get today is, well, you can't celebrate the 4th of July because all these guys are racist. They were a bunch of bigots and slaveholders. And okay, of the 56 signers of the Declaration, 41 did own slaves. But the rest of the story is that's one of the reasons we signed the Declaration, because Great Britain had refused to allow us to end slavery. We tried with a number of laws in 1773, 1774, anti-slavery laws. The king struck them all down. And once we separated from Great Britain, then you find that three out of four founding fathers released slaves, freed slaves, started abolition societies, went on the crusade against slavery. So you have about a fourth of the founders that were racist, and there's no excuse for that, but that's the way it is. But to say that America's founders were a bunch of racists and bigots and slave owners, no. They're the guys who were really heading the civil rights movement. So schools get it wrong today about the faith of the founders and about the morality of the founders and about the racial abuse of the founders.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, David, what book have you written you would recommend if people want to understand what you just talked about here?
There's one that would really help them, particularly on the faith side. It's called Original Intent, and it goes through and documents the faith of the founders and particularly how that faith infiltrated, if you want to say it, which is what the left would say today, but how that faith influenced public policy and what they did in public policy and how that changed and when. And it's really been in our lifetime that all the changes have been made. But for younger millennials and Gen Zers today that are not as old as I am, they don't know those changes. And so they've grown up in a society where they have no memory of it being otherwise. And so that's why it is significant to get information to particularly younger Americans at this point, because they have no sense of comparison, as a lot of us who have seen it go through both sides and hopefully is turning back now with maybe a new Supreme Court justice going back in the other direction. But Original Intent is a good place to start.
All right, and the website again is what?
Wallbuilders.com.
Hey, David, thanks so much. Happy 4th of July to you.
You too, guys. Bless y'all. Bye-bye.
Hey, thank you. That's David Barton of Wallbuilders. And trust me, could have gone five more hours.
Mm-hmm. He's like a walking encyclopedia of early American history. It's unbelievable. He was just rattling off those statistics and those names.
All in his head. Yeah, that's right. I've talked to him so many times, and every time I come away just completely amazed at what that guy knows.
Well, I worked with him a lot over the years. And
have you been teaching him
some
stuff?
Well, it's starting to show up.
Yeah,
you got him to up his game a little bit.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm very proud of him. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What is your next story you want to bring to the table, Steve Jordahl?
Have you been hearing about this soccer team in Thailand that got stuck in some caves? They were missing for 10 days.
Tell us again what happened
here. This is a youth soccer team. These young boys, 12 boys and their coach, went spelunking. There's a good term for you. They went into this cave, and they disappeared. They couldn't find them. They thought that they died or something awful had befallen them. Heavy rains came, flooded the cave. Well, they found them, and they're alive, and they're hungry, but they are doing well. But what we're hearing now is that it could take literally months to bring these boys out of this cave. They're stuck.
What?
This is in northern Thailand. Yeah.
How do you live that long?
They can send them food. They can send them stuff to live. I don't know if they'd all survive months. But apparently these boys don't know how to swim. And they are in a place where even some of the Thai Navy SEALs are having a hard time getting through underwater some of these places. So they're stuck in there. The interior minister said that... so they've been pumping out about 2,600 gallons of water every hour. They're pumping out, but they've only managed to lower the level by 1 centimeter.
Wow.
Of the water. There's so much water in there.
Yeah, it sounds like from what I've read that there's this cave obviously filled up with water from the rain, and there's places where now that it's rained, you have to essentially go underwater with an oxygen tank and then swim a little while, and then you come up for air in some kind of air pocket, and it goes on and on and on for hundreds of yards. So getting a child who doesn't know how to swim and doesn't know how to use diving equipment out of there is nearly an impossible task.
Well, and you've got the fact that it rains all the time over there during this season of the year. And one of the dangers is there's more rain in the forecast coming. So... They got to try to get them out of there quickly, but the kids don't know how to swim. They aren't used to using scuba equipment, so it's a very dangerous situation. It's kind of a miracle. I shouldn't say kind. It's a miracle that they found them alive.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're alive way back there, as you said, Walker, way back. How do you get them out safely? It's a real difficult issue.
Right.
Yeah. How many of them are there?
There are... 12 boys and one soccer coach. The boys are ages 11 to 16.
Okay. All right. Well, we will ask people to pray for that group of young men, because they need to be rescued.
Well, you know, Tim, you can kind of see how this happened. You know, boys in caves, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a bunch of kids want to get in the cave. Well, sure, you know. And then all of a sudden, the rains come, and they keep retreating further back. And they got as Walker said, to an air pocket. But they're so far from the. It's not like they're 20 feet. From the opening of the cave, they're much further back than that.
They're a couple miles in, I think I read.
Oh, man. Oh.
So.
That's difficult.
What did I read it here. They said that they are, that's on the third page. Sorry.
Yeah, see, they were lost for like a week before they were found alive.
Mm-hmm. Another option for rescue is to drill into the chamber and airlift them out. The British Cave Rescue Council, which has members taking part in the rescue operation, estimates that the group are around 1.2 miles in the cave and around 0.6 miles below the surface.
Wow. Mm. How they got there?
Yeah.
First off, they're not supposed to be in the cave. It's close to pedestrians, but of course, you know, you got kids and they don't pay attention to signs, but 1 mile in there, wow.
You got it. But the coach is with them?
The coach is with them. He's 20-something.
Mm-hmm. And so they're going to have to dig down over 2,000 feet if I'm just doing this in my head.
Yeah.
If they go from the top digging down, right?
Well, that's assuming that the ground is flat over them if they're tunneling
under
a hill.
Yeah, right. And then you factor in you got to hit the right spot,
exactly.
Right. Wow.
This doesn't look good.
No, but there is. I will say there's U.S. teams there. There's teams from all across the country who are there to help. I'm sorry, all across the world there to help.
And there's video of the one of the rescue guys in the water talking to the kids, you know. Yeah. So you can – I saw that on the internet this morning. So they're hungry, but they're okay. The question is now, how do you get them out before the water starts rising again?
Maybe hopefully and prayerfully somebody will figure that out. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. How high is the gas prices going to go, Steve?
I'm going to leave that question for my friend and colleague Chris Woodward.
Is he going to talk about that next hour?
He can talk about that next hour. He's following that. It's going to go up, but it might not go up. I believe, Chris, I might be wrong, but it's not going to go up as much as we had once feared.
Right? Yeah. Well, the president said he talked to the Saudis. Saudis were going to help us out there.
They are increasing production. OPEC is increasing production. But it always goes up in the summer, and it always goes up around travel times, like the 4th of July. There's the free market working for you.
Okay. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Next story.
A federal investigation into Facebook sharing of data with the political consulting group Cambridge Analytica. It's broadened, and now they are looking into the representatives from the FBI, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and the Federal Trade Commission have joined the Justice Department in looking at this data breach. This, remember, Facebook admitted to sharing data of millions of people with this Cambridge Analytica, and Mark Zuckerberg was up on the Hill testifying about it.
But he basically had to eat crow.
He did.
Yeah.
But it's still going on. There are still outside groups that I was reading this morning, not Facebook, Google allows companies to scan your Gmail account to find out data in your Gmail, like where you've been shopping. If you go shopping and you get a Land's End catalog or something, Gmail companies can scan your Gmail account now to find out that, and they can target you.
I don't have one.
No, this isn't good. No,
you have a Gmail account, Ray?
Yeah, sure do. And you know what? Hundreds of millions of people have Gmail. So you're telling me that Google lets companies scan private email accounts?
That's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, we mentioned this before. You might as well just consider yourself being watched. And I mean all the time. So. And you know what? How do I say this without sounding like I'm pro-surveillance? I would say the vast majority of these things, like what Facebook does, it's all commercially driven. It's about money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about
blackmail.
It's not about staking you out, or you know. I just don't think it's to that. It's that personal. They're just wanting. They're wanting to know what huge swaths of people are interested in, so they can target you with an ad.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. It's not Big Brother's watching you so much. Now, people may disagree with my analysis right there. That's fine, but that's the way I view it. It's,
right.
it's more about making a dollar.
And you have to I often ask myself, how does Facebook make money? Because they don't charge
to pay,
me
right.
to use it.
So how do they make money?
They make money by providing data. They sell yeah. data.
Sure. And advertisements.
And advertisements, yeah. but yeah. They charge tremendous amounts of money.
Ed Battagliano's mentioned this before, and everybody listening to me knows this if you're on the internet at all, Ray, and that is, you know, if I go to my computer right now and I don't, and I pull up a search engine like Google, or I go to some website, there's going to be an ad on there about golf.
Sure.
I don't get golf ads.
You don't get golf ads, but I do, because they know that I'm looking at – I've looked at a lot of golf websites, mm-hmm. for example, or YouTube videos or whatever. But whatever your interest is, they're going to have something targeting you, Steve.
Music.
And Walker and
yeah.
Ray and everybody. So,
right.
you know, that's just – either sort of, you know, surrender to that or get off the internet if that bothers you that
right.
much.
Right, right.
Go ahead, Ray. Any thoughts on that, Ray?
To your point, Tim, most of this is benign, at least in the sense that, you know, it's General Electric or it's Walmart or it's somebody doing market research, right? Could this someday be misused in a more sinister way? Mm-hmm. I think the answer is obviously yes, because in authoritarian, totalitarian countries, places like China, they are misusing data that way.
Mm.
It's not really to that extent here in the U.S. at this moment.
But you know that if you live in China, right? I mean, it's not.
You should.
It's not
you better
good,
know.
But you know,
better know.
You know you're being watched in China by you know
right.
by the Chinese government, especially if you're doing something that they consider to be illicit.
Yeah, but they've in China started using social media and the internet to start surveilling a lot more than we have, and that's
yes.
a relative new technology. So people might not over there be aware of how much they are.
But what I'm saying is, there is not some guy in Washington D.C. I don't think there is. Going through my email from last week and reading what I wrote to. My friend in Texas. Is there?
Unless you work for the FBI and are saying something bad about President Trump, then there's somebody watching your email.
But the other side of all this is, guys, if you have something extremely personal and private,
yes.
think twice before you put it on the internet, mm-hmm. even in an email.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just tell you, they're going to be really bored. Bored out of their minds if they're going to be spending their time reading my email. But, man, maybe you can find something juicy on there. I don't know. All right, Walker and I will return with Ray. Ray, you're going to hang around, right?
You bet.
30 more minutes. Steve Jernoff, Thieves, thank you for your contributions to this program.
My pleasure.
You going to go see if you're being surveilled?
I'm going to go, yeah. I'm going to go delete all my email.
Too bad the NSA.
Guess what, Steve?
Up.
It's never really deleted.
I know.
They already have it.
It's never really deleted,
indeed.
Steve. Once on the internet, it's here forever. All right. Folks, thanks for listening this hour. We shall return with more of today's issues in 5 minutes, so stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.